Recently, there was an experience of a woman who really had fallen on bad times, and she'd got five children who'd been removed because there was not enough food. Her husband had terminal cancer, and her nearest relative, her uncle, also had terminal cancer, and they were both together at St. Thomas's. She couldn't afford to travel there because she didn't have the money. She couldn't afford to heat her home, but we could help her with food, and initially we did help her with some electric and gas as well. Once she had food, social services had told her that they could reconsider those children coming back, and she was convinced that this would be the leverage to allow her children to come back. Unfortunately, I wasn't, because I felt that on a long-term basis, that still might be difficult, and children have to be fed. However, she did eat while she was there, and I don't sit with people while they eat, because often when they're eating like that, they can't stop putting it in their mouths, so they have to have privacy to be allowed to do that. But I would encourage us as a congregation to help in Food Bank. Lucy does a regular contribution to buying the food, so that's her part, and she does an online shop, but I'm sure she also gives. But if you feel called to give anything towards that, that would be great. And it also reminded me of the first church, where hospitality came into play as well, and people were invited into people's homes to share. So I'm just going to read that scripture, and then Charlie is going to interview Alan. I'm not sure if Esme is going to be part of that. Okay. Acts 2, verses 43 to 47. The apostles were doing many miracles and signs, and everyone felt great respect for God. All the believers were together and shared everything. They would sell their land and the things they owned, and then divide the money and give it to anyone who needed it. The believers met together in the temple every day. They ate together in their homes, happy to share their food with joyful hearts. They praised God and were liked by all the people. Every day, the Lord added those who were being saved to the group of believers. Just let that word settle. And I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, we know that we have more than enough to eat generally in the first world. And we see adverts every day of those that have barely nothing, Lord Jesus. And yet we still know there are people within our reach, within our community, who are very hungry people, who need that daily bread that you promise us in the Lord's Prayer. And we know, Lord, that we need to share, and that comes with sacrifice. But Lord Jesus, it's not much of a sacrifice for us to all put something either in a food bank trolley or whilst we're out in a supermarket, generally the collections, Lord, there's not much that we have to do to share. And Lord, I ask today that you touch our hearts and help us to remember that, Lord, when we share, also there's that wonderful thing that people begin to believe in you too, Lord, as they see faith in action and the love of Christ in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we have. Amen.
So, Alan, if you'd like to come forward, yeah? Set the mic up for you. So do you feel comfortable with it? We have agreed on some questions with Alan, but I thought it'd be important for us to know how you come to be here and your Christian walk, and that's what I'll ask you to introduce yourself. Okay. Where were you as a young man, and how you end up being here in the King's times as well, Alan.
Yes. Right, my name is Alan Robinson. I'm married to Esme. I've been a Christian since about the age of 19, 20 years old. And I became a Christian because I realised that it was a prerequisite to marry Esme. As many of you may know, that behind every strong man, there's a even stronger woman. And that's where I am.
It's true.
Yes, hence the comments about football. Yes. So I'm a member of Elton Green Christian Church, or Christian Community. Sorry, we keep changing our name and I can't remember what it is currently, but it is Elton Green Christian Community. And we meet in Westhorn Avenue. I'm privileged to be part of the eldership team there. And in light of our previous comments, I'm the one that provides the grey hair to our leadership team. The rest of them, except for Jim Bailey, are much younger than me. I got involved with the food bank in 2012. Again, inspired by Esme. I had recently retired and we were looking at what we could do together. Esme had been involved for years working on the ferrier. And about that time, the ferrier was being demolished and replaced by what you see there now. And so that was going to leave a big gap in her life and her service. And since I'd retired, we thought it'd be good if we could find something we could do together. And one day, Esme was reading a newspaper article about the need for food banks, and she said, well, why don't we do that? We realised there wasn't one in our area. So we got in, and God took over, and every time we wanted for something, it was provided. And we can say today that we have just become the instruments in which God has worked through to establish what you see today. Almost everything that we needed, he provided at the time, and he still leads and guides what we do today.
So you can go a bit deeper in why the food bank come to exist. That's what we really need.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people think that we have food banks in this country because our benefit system is broken. And that's not wholly true. We have a food bank system in this country because there are people who we find who are in need. And that need isn't caused because of benefits. Sometimes it is, but not totally. People fall into need because they lose their job, because they become seriously ill, because they've been subject to domestic violence, because their family has broken down. they find that they're in need because they've found themselves in this country without any ability to support themselves. And there's a whole range of reasons why people come. And the benefit system is always involved in that, but it isn't always the cause. The benefit system is supposed to be a safety net for people who are in trouble in our society, but it doesn't always work. And so we stand in the gap, as it were, between its failings and people's needs. And that's why we exist. And it also exists not because there's just a need, but because the Christian church and the vast majority of food banks that exist in this country are run by, led by, created by the Christian church. And it's born out of the need that's recognised in our day, in our society, in our time, as being a response, the Christian impulse to run to something when you see when you see there are people in trouble. And that's really why it exists. because it's the opportunity in our time, in our society, in the communities that we find ourselves in, and to be able to show that we love our neighbour and to respond to Matthew 15, which it says, you know, when did you feed me? When did you clothe me? So, that's what it is. Because God ordained it.
Second question. I've just lost it now. How's it going in terms of people coming, going, volunteers and donations? Because we had Stuart Brunswick here three or four years ago, was it?
Yeah.
Stuart's really involved with it.
Yes,
we all know Stuart because of the Boys Brigade and also through the Baptist Church and that. So he's very much, and he came and explained it with the passion that you're sharing today.
So how's it going? This is always a difficult question to answer, because I'd really like to say it's nobody's coming, we're standing idle, we've got all this food and nobody to give it to. That's really what we'd like to say, but that's not the truth. Since 2012, when he opened our doors as Greenwich Food Bank, we have seen an increasing number of people come to us every year. We finished counting each year at the end of March, and at the end of last March, in the year that preceded that, we'd given out food to feed 7,505 people. The year before, we gave out food to feed 6,200 people. So it was a big step up. To do that, we collected 70 ton of food. And I don't know if you know what 70 ton of food looks like, but it would more than fill this space in here. It's a huge amount. And that goes through our warehouse that Stuart looks after and cares for. So virtually everything that we collect goes to Stuart. He and his band of volunteers organise it and sort it. We have about 150 volunteers each month involved in the work that we do in one way or another. A large number of them are involved in our warehouse in Eltham. We have 8 welcome centres. This is where we meet our clients around the borough. And there was one that used to be meet in here, used to be in this space or
yeah,
next door.
Yeah, Ever ran it, didn't it? Ever was here.
Yeah. And now it's at Cholton and Blackheath, or Blackheath and Cholton. I don't remember which way round it is. You're Cholton and Blackheath, aren't you?
Blackheath and Cholton Baptist Church.
Yeah. And we have volunteers, a team of volunteers in each of those 8 centres. And we have a number of people that are involved in transporting stuff around, either in their cars or in the 2 vans that we have. And then there's a few hangers-on like me and a couple of others that do all the admin and the stuff that are necessary to hold it all together. Ever since the day we started, we've always had more food come in than we gave out. And that changed last month. Last month was the first month we'd ever had when we gave out more food than came in. And that sort of just rang a little alarm bell in my head and thought, well, maybe the numbers now have overtaken the compassion in our community. I'm hoping that's not true. I'm hoping that last month was just a blip and that it would change. But it means we need to keep our eye on what's coming in.
Is that because of more people moving into the area or more diversity, more, you know, has that changed in the 6 years you've been running?
The first year we ran, we saw 1,000 people. Bearing in mind that we absorbed what used to be Thamesmead Food Bank, who had already built it up from nothing to 1,000. I don't think there are more people in Greenwich now than there used to be. Certainly not in the last 5-6 years. But I think there are a lot of the pressures beginning to work that cause people to fall into difficulties. I mean, I think it's not a secret that family breakdown is on the increase. You know, there are a lot of people who lose their jobs. Mm. You know, sickness is as prevalent as it's always been. You know, and these things drive people coming in. So I think that's why the numbers are going up. Mm.
Volunteers, have you got enough volunteers?
We have almost in every area, we have enough people to cover what we need. I get lots of emails each week for people that want to be involved. So there are a couple of areas where we need specialist help. Maintaining our website and our social media is an area where we could do with a real expert. Mm-hmm. So if you know one of those, it's the only thing God hasn't provided to us, is somebody who understands IT in such a way that they can drive that piece of it. But otherwise, we're fine. We used to be short of drivers, but now we've got enough.
What are the future challenges, Alan?
Thinking about the number of people that came to see us, as I said, it's been going up year on year. There must come a point where it stops going up. Right? There must be a point where we stop seeing the need increasing. Right? If it didn't stop, there comes a point where all you come to the food bank as well. You know, that everybody in Greenwich would be coming to the food bank if it didn't stop somewhere. And I believe that at the moment we're getting very close to that point where we're meeting and satisfying, on the whole, the need. Okay. So that is a challenge from us, because up until this point in time, we've spent ages building capacity within the food bank. We've increased the number of vans we got, we've increased the size of the vans that we use, we've increased the space and the organisation that we use within the warehouse to accept more food. We've increased the number of volunteers that have been involved in our different centres. We've opened the centres for a bit longer in some cases. But I think now we should be begin to change our focus for the days ahead. And we should be more involved in how do some of those people who come to see us, not all of them, because some of them we just help them and then they go and they get their lives get back on track and they're okay. But there's a core number of people who come whose lives will always be in difficulty. You know, they'll fall in at difficulty, we'll help them, they'll get back on their feet for a while, and then they'll fall into difficulty again. I think that's a substantial number of people among the 7,000 that we see. And I think there's work to be done that says, how do we make those lives much more sustainable? And we've been working closely with the public health organisation within Greenwich and with others that are involved to say, what can we do, not just the food bank, but what can we do collectively that actually takes people whose perhaps lives you might call are chaotic and provide them with maybe education or some tools or some processes or some forms of help that can actually enable them to change their lives from being chaotic to being sustainable. And I think if we were to be able to find the answer to that question, we would reduce food bank usage dramatically. We'll never get rid of it, because it's part of the way our society is structured now. But we could start to reduce it. And I think that's the phase that we're approaching. So it means thinking about things differently from my point of view, encouraging others. Because of the work we've done so far, we've actually earned the right to be heard. Because people come to us and say, you know, what can we do about the poverty in our community? And so we get the opportunity to talk about it. Hmm. But I think the challenge now is how do we move people, some people, to sustainable lifestyles. Mm-hmm. Big words, but it's a big challenge. Mm. But I think that's what's in store for us coming up.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go into a time of prayer for the food bank now. Mm-hmm. We're just asking you what needs regular, consistent prayer going forward for yourself.
Yeah. You can pray about what I just said, about our future and about how we change and how we think about doing things differently. That's something that we need to know God's guidance on. And we need him to help us understand how we engage with others that can make that happen. It's not something we can do on our own. But the two things I would like to ask you to pray for, not just for today, but going forward, maybe every day, or the days ahead, one of which Sue has already mentioned. The people who meet and refer people to the food bank, the people who meet them, when they come to the food bank, are often told some very difficult stories. Some things that would just stick in your mind. And, you know, you'd be, you become preoccupied. You know, things sometimes when you hear them and they're difficult things to listen to, they go around in your head. So it would be good to pray for those people. excuse me. Good to pray for them that God would release them from, you know, the thoughts and the, you know, the going round and round about what they've heard, that it doesn't harm them in any way. So that's one thing. That's the second thing. The third thing I'd like you to pray for is the clients themselves who come with these stories. You know, maybe you know people. You know, maybe you've met some of them. You may not know they've come to the food bank, but you may know a bit about who they are and what they're going through. So if you could pray for these three things. What do we do in changing our future? Pray for our staff and the referrers who listen to the stories. And those, thirdly, who actually are experiencing the stories that are being told. Oh, thank you. So they're the three things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to say thank you, if I may. Can I do that now?
No, of course you can.
I've never been here before to one of your things, but as we were coming, Esme said to me, he said, do you know any people who go to this church? And I said, well, I know Mike Leader. I mean, he used to be in the church that I went to. In fact, I'll let you into a secret. We, for years, kept a piano in the corner of our meeting room in the hope that one day he'll come back and start playing it again. And then I said, oh, yeah, and there's so-and-so, and then there's so-and-so. And in the end, there were quite a few names of people that I could mention. They're not all here today. Some are here that we were talking about on the way here. But one thing I'm conscious of is not only have I been involved with many people who were in this church, Mike has been a great support to the food bank. Other people have been a great support to the food bank or actively involved in what we're doing. And you've supported us financially. So we're very grateful as an organisation for you as a congregation. And I wanted you to know that you've played a vital part. The one thing I haven't talked about is finances. We have never had a problem with finances, and hopefully we will never have a problem with finances. But part of that is because there are some churches, some individuals, who have been committed to support us month in, month out. And you are one of them. And so I want to say thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Before I ask people to pray for you, has anybody got any questions that they would like to ask Alan? Because I know sometimes sitting down in the audience, there's questions that come in your head. Has anybody got any questions they would like to Alan about food bank? Jean has.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's very true. Particularly our warehouse team have become a community in themselves. There's a joke that goes around that I only pop in to the food bank while they're drinking coffee. Every time I go in, they happen to be sitting around drinking coffee and chatting. And it is true, because I tend to pick coffee time. Is the time when I naturally call in.
I hope they put the kettle on for you, and I don't make you one.
No, I never make one. But one thing that's become really evident is that they've come from all different walks of life, and before they came to the food bank, most of them didn't know each other. Some are young, some are old, some are men, some are women. And but they've created a bond because they're united in doing something together. And it's good to see. Mm-hmm. It's really good to see. And Noel is one of them. And she's
the Queen? Lucy's got the other mic. Yeah.
We only provide emergency support in terms of food. We don't. Our aim is not to sustain people over time. So the natural outcome of that is that people come, we support them for a while, and then they go. We very rarely have people who come for a long period of time. Occasionally we do. And if I think back to some of the cases where we've sustained people for a long time, it's because one of the reasons is because they're waiting for the outcome of the judicial system, right? And that doesn't move very quickly. Think of one person who waited for her case to come up before a court, and it took 6 months from when she started to be in trouble to when the court made a decision. And and we supported that person throughout that time. And that was all about who could dispose of the house. Basically, they had a house, and there was no money available until the house got sold. So yeah, that took a long time. There are other people whose circumstances are also reliant on home office activity, particularly those who are asylum seekers or something like that. And occasionally, for those people, because the home office doesn't move very quickly either, we've had to sustain them for longer periods of time. But generally, people come and then they go. And hopefully we never see them again. And that's one of the things that we say to people is, I hope we never see you again. Which seems strange, but that's our desire.
Hmm. Is anybody else? I'll give you the mic.
Hello. Last week in the youth group, we were talking about how we could help the community. And one of the things that the girls actually said was they were quite interested in the food bank. How can young people help out with the food bank? What are your needs for them, bearing in mind that they're at school, but at the weekends and stuff like that? How can they help?
Mm. We don't have any regular routine activities that run in the evenings and at the weekends. But we have done special things for groups on a one-off thing from time to time. I'm trying to think. The brownies came. Were you involved in that? Oh, yeah. Yes, it was Catherine did it, yeah. Do the people know Catherine? May know Catherine. Anyway, so we did something specially for them to involve them. From time to time, we've had groups come from schools. We're very dependent on the schools for our fooding coming in. And so occasionally we've hosted a group from a school just to come and do stuff and become aware of how we work and do things like that. So we can set something up and do it on a one-off. But in terms of regular routine, week in, week out stuff, it's difficult. We often get requests from children to come and do things after school or whatever, but we've got all the safeguarding issues that we have to be conscious of, and so we can't really entertain things unless it's structured and organised and things. So as a one-off, we're happy to sort of arrange something.
Do you do anything like at Christmas time about in Sainsbury's? I saw people were standing there with buckets or with big trolleys for people, encouraging people to put food in. Do you do anything like that?
We do have an event on the weekend that crosses between November and December, whatever weekend that is, in Sainsbury's in Woolwich, and that's a regular week in, week out. And on the Saturday of that weekend, we're always looking for volunteers. So if anybody wants to put that weekend in their diary, yeah, it would be very helpful.
Yes, that you could do. Team here could do that.
Yeah. Because I'm always struggling to get enough people.
Anybody else got a question, Alan? Okay, if I can ask you people to come forward to pray for Alan and the work he's doing at the food bank, it would be much appreciated.
Don't be shy. Let's have one or two more people. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one more person.
Well done, Peter.
While you're thinking about it, and I'm not going to let you get away with it, so I don't think you're safe. I just want to say that I think Food Bank is one of the most significant church-related activities that's ever happened in Greenwich, because it's managed to get people from across the whole spectrum of churches, you know, from every sort of theological sort of background, working together, and I think it's been a phenomenal success. And actually, Alan, I think a lot of it is down to you, and I'd like to say thank you to you for what you've done. And I know it's supported by Esme and Stuart, of course, with the warehouse. I mean, if you've never been to the warehouse, it's worth just a visit just to see how incredibly it works. You know, it's just fantastic. So I think that from a church across the borough point of view, Food Bank is massively significant. It's also... it's got the respect of the local authority, and that's not an easy thing to do with church-related stuff. You know, they're not that keen on church-related things, and they really buy into and they really go for Food Bank. I mean, they have supported us, haven't they, over the years with Food Bank?
Yeah, we have an 8,000 square foot warehouse in Eltham where we keep our food. Currently, it's storing about 25, 26 tonne of food in there. More pasta than you'd ever wish to see. More baked beans than you could ever eat.
Stuart talks about is the pasta.
Yeah. We've created a pasta snake in the top floor that goes from one end of the building to the other so that we can keep it all in date and shuffle new stuff into it as it goes along. And it's impressive to see, particularly as it's been operated, and people, you start seeing it being
shuffled. That's provided virtually free of charge, isn't it?
The whole building is provided to us free of charge. And when I say free of charge, it's everything. We don't pay for the electricity, the hierarchy. It's got a lovely car park, and if you're volunteering there, you get free car parking while you're at the food bank, and if you want to go shopping in the high street. We have two vans. One of those vans was given to us by Greenwich Council. Out of the money that the council has had to do good work within their wards, they clubbed together effectively so that they could provide us with a van, and they did that. And they are very supportive. The councillors will call in and see us from time to time. We have a good rapport with them, and you know, when people from neighbouring food banks come and visit Greenwich Food Bank, they all walk away with warehouse envy, because no other food bank has got a warehouse like ours that Greenwich gave us.
So it's been a great effort all round, and I think we should just, you know, be thankful for Alan's vision and the way that he's actually put it into operation. Okay, so we've got a few people to pray now. So I will finish off the prayers. So it's up to the rest of you to start with.
Yes.
So, dear Lord, we just thank you for Food Bank. We thank you for the fact that it just not actually feeds the community, but it brings the community together. And, Lord, we just think there for the grace of God go I. We pray, Father, for everything that they're doing there. And we just pray, Lord, that you bless it and you multiply it. And, Father, I just pray that when things do seem to be going a little bit cagey, and we've heard about the last month, that we remember that parable of the miracle, actually, that you did with the fish and the bread, how you prayed over it, and there was enough to go around, and it fed, and people were sustained. And I pray, Lord, that the work of the Greenwich Food Bank will be sustained, that it will, you'll put it on people's hearts, that they won't get their talons and they'll put them in the ground and cover them up, but they'll invest in the food bank, and that will get, that will get tenfold, 100-fold, and 200-fold, Lord, that this will, this work will continue, and it will meet the needs of those not only that are coming through the door, but blessing those that actually are feeding those. Thank you, Father.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the work of the food bank. But Lord, I want to pray, Father, for those people who are on the front line of the food bank, who have to deal with harrowing stories, Lord. And Father, for those individuals, Lord, who come in and use the food bank for whatever reason, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father, that the food bank is joining up, Lord, with the health authority to get to the bottom of some of the reasons why, Lord, there is this constant need for the food bank. Lord, I want to pray, Father, for those broken lives of those people, Father, who can't move on. But I want to thank you, Lord, for the provision of the food bank, that, Lord, it's meeting their needs. But, Father, ultimately, Lord, the food bank should be there for them to move on. And, Lord, I just lift them up to you, Father, Lord, for the systems, Lord, for the Home Office, Lord, for the judicial systems, Lord, which almost weigh people down, Father. I ask, Lord, that your hand may be in those areas for those people to move on, to find a purpose and a destiny for their lives, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you've blessed the food bank with a bounty, Lord, which is incomprehensible, actually. And Lord, I pray, Father, a special blessing on all of those people who give up their time, Lord, to minister in such a way, in such a serving way, Lord. Lord, I ask, Father, a blessing, Father, for them. Lord, I pray, Father, for those people who come in and use the food bank, that they may find solace and meet with you, Lord, in some way or another. For a God who provides. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Alan, I just had a word here for you. A word for you and a word for the food bank. A good person speaks with wisdom, and he says what is fair. The teachings of his God are in his heart, so he does not fail to keep them. You have the teachings of God in your heart. You have fairness, and you lack prejudice. Lord, I just want to call down more and more and more of that on you, because you're in a pivotal position. You have areas of influence in this borough. And when you walk into a room and negotiate with those that have yet to know the Lord, they need to know that you are a fair man, that you understand who the Lord is and how he works through you and the staff and the volunteers. And I pray, Lord... Sorry, this is open prayer with my eyes open. I pray that you wouldn't be burdened, that you wouldn't feel a weight on your shoulders, because the Lord would relieve you of that and he would make your yoke light. I'm sure there are times where you've even lost sleep over things, but I'm praying that he will make sure that you know you can rest that at his feet on the foot of the cross. You can rest that. And with Esme, you have a marriage that is based on the truth of God. So he wants you to know that he's in the middle of that as well, within your marriage. And there's another scripture which talks about miracles, because we're in the miracle-making business here. Lord, my God, you have done many miracles. And this is the Psalm of David, Psalm 40. Your plans for us are many. If I tried to tell them all, there would be too many to count. I know firsthand of miracles that happen through Food Bank that bring people to a point of hope. And that hope comes from the Lord. We know that. But we want them to know it as well. And that he is the God of miracles. Beyond the food, there are other things that go on. There's other interaction that goes on around Food Bank, which is all about him. Yeah. So I'm going to send those to you, but also just pray for you briefly with my eyes closed. Lord Jesus, I'm praying for this wonderful responsibility that you've given Alan and Esme as well. And I'm praying, Lord, that it came from a small seed and it's growing into a mighty oak. And Lord, I know a mighty oak shelters many people. So I see that picture there over this couple, that, Lord, you are giving them opportunities, you're giving them leverage, you're giving them blessings, but you're giving them miracles, everyday miracles, and they're being part of that. So this strengthens not only their faith, but those that know them and that are around them. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, for us to know more about you and what you're doing to feed many. And help us, Lord, today to support Alan and Stuart and those in the food bank by prayer. Amen.
Father, we thank you for Alan and Esme being here today. We thank you, Lord, for Alan's ministry. Lord, I thank you for his ministry at Eltham Green over many years, Lord. Thank you too, Lord, for all that's happening in Food Bank. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to fill him and continue to lead him and guide him and give him vision for this this really amazing thing. Lord, we know that without vision we perish. So I pray for more vision, particularly for the future. Pray that you'll make it quite clear what your will is and what the way to go for Food Bank is in the future. Lord, and pray that you will be blessing him and, Lord, making this ministry a fruitful ministry, fruitful for you, fruitful for your kingdom. Lord, and praying that you will bless him, Lord, and bless all those who are involved in Food Bank, all the volunteers, Lord, Stuart in the warehouse, all those people in churches around the borough who support it. We just pray, Lord, for an almighty outpouring of your spirit and your blessing upon this work. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope I'm not making this go on too long, but I think it's quite important to realise the value of the Word of God in all that we've done. You know, and I feel privileged that Sue should share what she just shared from the Word of God, and it's encouraging. Right at the very beginning, when we began, there was a young lady who came up to me after one of our very first meetings who said, this is a word for the food bank. And it was the story of how David was talking to Solomon about building the temple. And he's and the word that he gave him was along the lines of, you can do this. You can make it happen. But everything that you need, whether it be the skills or craftsmen or people, I'll provide for you. And the one testimony that the food bank has had from its inception right up until today is that whenever we've needed something, it's appeared. We needed at one point an environmental health officer to help us understand how we make the premises that we have vermin-proof. And I was talking to a minister of a small church in Plumstead who I just happened to say this, I needed this, and she said, to me, she said, well, I used to work for Environmental Health in Greenwich. I was an environmental inspector. I can come and help you and give you the advice. At one time, we needed a solicitor to help us with some legal documents that we had to do very quickly. And again, I just was mentioning it to somebody, and one of the person who led our Woolwich Centre at that time said, well, my husband's a solicitor. He can come and do it for you. A little while ago, getting me more up to date, we were realising that the van that we had was too small. And we were thinking about what we were going to do about this. And I got a phone call just out of the blue from a small company in Greenwich. And this guy says to me, he said, we've got a fleet of vans, we're changing them, and this van is no use to us anymore because it's extended its time. Would you like it? You know, that happens regularly.
That's great. Thank you, Alan.
Alan, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Lovely. We've got some children's work at the back. I forgot to say that we were doing it at the beginning, but Jean kicked into action. I don't know whether they're in a point of being able to show us what they've got. Okay, this is for Food Bank. They've designed a poster. So perhaps they could come up and just show us what they've done.
You're collecting. So you're collecting my name.
Thank you, Esther Jeremiah. And we're going to have a few songs as well before we finish.
Okay.
They're building their confidence, coming and showing us something monthly. Okay, do you want to show? Well, that's nice and busy. Right, what was your memory verse? Can you remember? Okay. Over to you, Jeremiah. Do you want to say something? No. It's okay. Well, we can see here, this is based on the food, some of the items that are given at Food Bank, and you've got Acts 2, and they've put that on there to remind us about sharing our food and loving one another. Acts 2, 43 to 47. And you've got something on there. God's love is 100,000. Wow. Trust, faith, and God by Jeremiah. Yep, that's brilliant. Thank you. Oh, and love. You've got love there.
Love in there, isn't it?
Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you. Okay, hold it up, Esther, so we can see. Yeah, do you want to say it? Okay, just hold it straight up and we can have a look at it. If you hold it from the top, yeah, and I'll read that at the bottom. It says, think of people that matter outside on the streets. Bit of a commission, that. Think of people that matter. Turn it around. Do you have spare food at home? So that's sort of a call to us, isn't it? A reminder. Just turn it around. Let's have a look at it again. Don't throw away good food. Okay. So that's food that's in sell by. Find a collection point. I can't remember how many collection points there are, but they're all over the place. They're in all our supermarkets if you look at them, and they're in our churches most of the time as well. And also, if you want to, Lou will always do a bit of a shop for you if you have any spare cash. This week, yeah. So if you feel called to give anything, please do. Thank you. Shall we give them a clap? Over to you, Mike.
Now, what we're going to do is anybody else anything they want to share this morning? I was remiss early on to say that Christianity Explored is this evening at Trevor and Lisa's. And is it about 7 p.m. at Trevor and Lisa's? Okay. If you don't know the way, I'm sure if you speak to Trevor and Lisa, they know where it is. I suppose most of them have been there, have they? Yeah, most of them have come in. Okay, today we also, going back in time in the church, there was always these four men who had their birthdays very close together. Like, there was Doug, Trevor, Matt and myself. Unfortunately, Doug's not with us anymore, but Janice has bought cakes today to celebrate Doug's birthday that was yesterday. So, you know, so remember Janice in your prayers and Doug at this time as well. Okay. So the mic's going to finish with a couple of songs. Alan, thank you so much for this morning. It was inspiring. I know when Stuart came, how passionate he was about it, and you've extended that passion today, and thank you for sharing that with us. It was brilliant. Thank you.